Chapter 1. Cairnheim. Oh, look, I roared. Another impassable chasm. How lovely. We stood on the crest of a frozen rise, looking into the ink-dark drop below. Chill wind snapped and bit at our skin, howling up the treacherous mountain pass behind. From her seat on the saddle behind me, Selene snarled into the howling gale. Cease your wretched whining, brother. I'm not whining. I'm belly aching. There's a difference. I dragged my coat tighter about myself and scowled. You want to hear me whine? Just wait till my vodka runs out. We await the day with bated breath. The Voss must be right on our asses by now. Where the hell is this place? We seek a creature old as centuries, a being whose name is a whisper among a cabal who call the shadows home, and you complain he is difficult to find. Damn right I do. I'm freezing my jollies off. Would that your tongue shared their fate. Dior wailed, head bowed against the blinding snow. I can't feel my bloody feet. I shook my head, teeth chattering as we turned about. I can't feel my anything. Such had been our lot for a fortnight. After parting with Lachlan, we'd set off at a gallop, stabbing westward, desperate to stay ahead of the iron hearts at our backs. The cold was blistering, but our beasts were Talhosti stock, and more, over 3 nights, Selene had fed both her blood. I was wary of thralling our beasts to my sister, but, God's truth, we needed the pace, and, bolstered by her strength, Bear and Pony carried us across the cold tundra of Nordland, through the frozen Skarmors, and into the Nightstone Mountains. The path up those grim peaks was rough from the outset. Miles of snow-capped rubble and jagged, deathly chill. Ever since Day's death, the snows of Elidane had fallen grey, not white as in winters of my youth. The noon skies were dark as dusk, and the whole mountain range seemed shrouded in freezing ash, reeking of brimstone. I tried to keep the mood light, griping with Dior as we climbed ever higher, horses forging shoulder deep through the frozen grey. But the dread of not knowing what awaited us, coupled with the threat of the high bloods behind us, had me wound tight. We'd eluded the Voss thus far, but I knew it wouldn't be long before they ran us to ground. As we fled higher into clawing winds and deepening snow, our supplies were dwindling, along with our spirits. We were running out of time. And a liqueur, Jean-Francois smiled. Oui, Gabriel sighed, topping up his goblet. Fucking nightmare. Why is this bastard hiding all the way up here anyway? Dior shouted. Selene answered behind me, her long dark hair whipping about my face. The faithful have ever been creatures of the shadows, chérie. But have no fear. Our master Wulfric told us the markers by which Master Genoa might be found.
I thought he was a damn vampire.
By Master Wulfric's accounts, Genoa was the vampire, second only to Mother Marin among the warriors of the Asana. Selene shook her head, looking up the broken black slopes. It is said he was a blood-drenched horror in his youth, a peerless swordsman and terror of the night, undefeated in 1,000 battles. His name was whispered in terror by his foes and in awe by the faithful.
Well, then, doesn't he need blood to survive?
Dior demanded.
We haven't seen a living thing in days. What the hell does he eat all the way up here?
What indeed, I growled. Selene met my stare as I glanced over my shoulder. I could still recall the sight of her drinking Rickard to dust on the mare. The ecstasy on her face as the awful wound Law had left her with diminished.
The words she spoke as the lust faded from her eyes. By this blood shall we have life eternal. It was a line from the Book of Laments. The covenant the Redeemer made with his followers, that through his sacrifice their souls would be saved. I still knew not exactly what I'd witnessed that day, but I recalled my youth in Saint-Michel, stolen moments in the library with Astrid and Chloe. My beloved had been the first to discover the name of the Asani bloodline, hidden in the pages of a bestiary long forgot. But that tome had described my forebears by another word, far grimmer. Cannibals. All will be made clear, chérie, Céline promised. We know you have questions, but in Master Genoa's halls shall we have sanctuary and you the answers you seek. Dior shivered, glancing about. I just hope he's not going to be too upset when we come knocking. He seems to have gone to an awful lot of trouble to avoid guests. My sister's eyes twinkled. Your visitation will be as an angel from heaven, if only you understood what your coming truly means. I nodded, drumming Ash's hilt. Just so long as we understand each other, sister. Perfectly, she replied. Brother. The air crackled between us all. Tension and distrust and dark foreboding. If this journey proved a fool's wager, I'd soon be filling a fool's grave. But Dior blinked then, sitting taller, a smile banishing the cloud over her head as she cried out in joy. Phoebe's back! I squinted through the blinding snows and, here came the Dusk Dancer, returning once more from her scouting. Phoebe wore the shape of her beast as she'd done for a week now, rust red and cutting the grey like a sword. By some measure of her dark magics, the lioness seemed little affected by the elements. Despite her weight, she came bounding across the top of the snows, rather than sinking into them, leaving no tracks in her wake. Dior shouted, waving and grinning at the sight of her. The pair had ridden together on the first leg of our journey, which I fear hadn't done much to relieve Dior of her unrequited crush. But the Dusk Dancer moved faster, saw keener in her wheeled shape. And though she'd seemed none pleased about it, once we reached the Nightstone, Phoebe had stripped herself bare by the fire, and with the vow, "See you when I'm looking at you," ran off naked into the gloom. I'd heard footsteps receding, a shift in tempo, as if where 2 feet had once fallen, now fell 4. And thereafter we saw only the she-lion, a blood-red shadow on ash-grey snows. I found that odd, truth told. For the rest of our journey, Phoebe never once changed back to exchange a word or human moment. Her manner was akin to a big cat's while in her wheeled shape, 1 minute warm and playful, the next completely aloof, and looking into her golden eyes around the fire each night, I found it hard to believe there was a woman inside there at all. After the sun rose, she'd be gone for hours, sometimes a day, but ever she returned at dusk, sleeping by the side of the girl she'd sworn to die defending. Dior jumped off Pony's back as Phoebe pranced toward us now, the girl laughing as the Dusk Dancer pounced and brought her down into the snow. What news, flesh witch? Céline asked. Phoebe looked up from sporting with Dior, huffing the frost from her snout. Her eyes narrowed, tail switching side to side as she stared at my sister like an especially annoying mouse. But finally she shook herself nose to tail and peered off to the south. She's found something, I realized. The Dusk Dancer growled and met my eyes. And, licking the frost from her jowls, she bounded across the snow again, light as feathers, turning and waiting for us to follow. Follow we did. On through the blinding grey. The winds pushed us back, as if the skies themselves counselled against our coming here, and for the 1,000th time, I wondered if I were a fool. A part of me wanted the answers Céline had promised Dior too, My father was of the Asani line after all. But always in my head came the maxim I'd learned as a boy, the words that had steered me true through nights of war and blood and fire. Dead tongues heeded are dead tongues tasted. We struggled on after Phoebe, the morning sun disappearing behind the wall of a gathering storm. The Vos were doubtless close to our heels now, and there was still the Divok to fret on. But here we were, blundering about like...
There, Selin cried. Look.
I squinted into the gloom, one hand shielding my eyes from the wind's claws.
Seven martyrs, Dior whispered. Are those... giants?
We, I breathed in wonder. But not the sort who'll grind your bones for bread.
They rose up from the snow before us as we climbed out of our saddles, silhouetted against the rumbling heavens. Buried to the thighs, still they towered far above our heads. God knew how long ago they'd been carved, hewn by impossible hands from the very bones of the Nightstone itself. Ageless and beautiful, caked in frost, statues of cold, dark granite. The first was an elderly man, his beard long and his hair flowing free. He wore a robe, carved with such skill it seemed almost to ripple in the shrieking winds. His right hand was pressed to his heart, and his left was outstretched, palm upturned and empty.
The father, Selene whispered, head bowed in reverence.
The second was a young man, alike in features to his elder but crueler of expression. His beard was trim, his eyes fierce and fearless. He wore archaic armour, held a sword and a helm, encircled with a crown. It was strange to see him such. Most oft he was depicted upon the wheel in the moment of his death. But this statue showed him not as he'd died, but as he'd lived. A warrior, a leader, a would-be conqueror.
The sun,
Dior breathed, frost at her lips. Almighty and Redeemer, father and child, the God who made this world and the Saviour who'd founded his church upon it. The statues were beautiful, awful, and I wondered what manner of thing had carved them. Dior was staring up at the younger, questions in her eyes. She was of his line, after all, bearer of his holy blood. But she was also a gutter rat, a thief and trickster, as far from a warrior king as one could be and still be breathing. And yet... Phoebe's snarl snatched my attention, dragging my eyes away. The lioness stood atop a ridge at our backs now, staring down the frozen path behind, hackles rippling. Reaching into my greatcoat, I raised my spyglass. And there, in the grey distance...
Well, well, I breathed. God pisses in our porridge at last.
Gabe, Dior called. What is it?
I turned toward her, that child who slew the beast of Velen with her own two hands, standing in the shadow of her ancestor. I tossed my spyglass, and she snatched it from the air, lifting the glass to her eye. And a cold curse slipped her lips as she saw what Fabienne had sent in his baby boy's wake.
Seven bloody martyrs!
They were maids, a pair of them, sat atop dark horses on the ridge far below. Willow tall, sharp chins and sharper cheeks. Their hair was long and straight as swords, cut in severe fringes above their lashes, and though the storm winds howled about them, not a single strand of it moved in that rising gale. They wore jodhpurs, knee-length boots, and both carried riding crops in hand. Elegant coats were cut in a feminine style, and each wore a slash of crimson paint on her lips, like knife wounds in those beautiful, terrible faces. They raised their hands in unison toward us, though where one pointed with right hand, the other pointed with left. It was as if each was a reflection of the other, not only in movement, but seeming. For the first had black hair, ebony skin, a daughter of the Sudami plains. The second's hair was ash blonde, her skin marble, a child of the Eladani Mountains. Their cloth they wore for contrast, light on dark, dark on light. But the eyes of both were bottomless pools, flooded utterly black by the uncounted centuries they'd walked this earth with deathless feet. "God help us," Selene whispered behind me. White-hot rage coursed my veins as I shook my head. "He's not listening, sister." Alba and Elaine Voss. The Terrors. The Forever King's eldest children. Creatures so ancient, none could say how old they truly were. Some rumour held it they'd been Voss's first victims. Virgin priestesses plucked but a few nights after Fabienne himself became. Others whispered they were hunters of the dark. Sorceresses sent to kill him, instead bested and corrupted by his blood. Whatever the truth yesterday, they were creatures of impossible power today, almost equal of the dread father who'd set them on Dior's trail. And now? "They found me," she whispered. The Terrors spurred their horses, coats flowing behind them as they sped like arrows across the snows toward us. With a curse, I watched Dior bound forward onto Pony's back, my heart pounding like a war drum. "We are close," Selene called. "We will be safe once we reach Cairnheim. No child of Voss dares set foot upon Asana's sacred ground." "Ride!" I bellowed. And so we did. As if all hell came behind us, thunder rumbling as storm clouds seethed above. I rode hard, pale blood eyes watering in the chill, Dior and Pony galloping beside me. Phoebe dashed out in front, sleek and bloody red, Selene clinging to my back, whispering under her breath in a cadence I finally recognised as a prayer, the old benediction for battle that Greyhand had taught me back in Saint-Michon. "The Lord is my shield, unbreakable." On through the bitter bleak day. "He is the fire that burns away all darkness." On through the deepening snows. "He is the tempest rising that shall lift me unto paradise." On through the wind, the chill, the fear we rode. Our beasts were terrified, and I could feel it also. A weight hung in the very air now. It seemed as if the storm above were alive, yet a stillness gripped my heart. A wrongness as we galloped onward, onward, thunder cracking above and the black wind screaming ahead like the voices of the damned. "Go back," it cried, "back while ye may. The living are not welcome here." "Gabe," Dior called. "I feel it too," I told her. I reached out toward her, brushing the tips of her fingers. "I've got you," I promised. Dior smiled, thin and frail. "I've got you." Lightning struck the sky, a blade of blinding white slicing the gloom to ribbons. And in that brief flash of brilliance, my sister raised one bloodless hand and called, "There." Breathless, we pulled up our bone-weary horses. A cliff edge waited before us, begging a drop into a howling dark. A tower rose up from that gulf. A sheer granite spire, joined to the cliff's edge by a thin stone bridge. Below the span's arch hung iron gibbets, suspended on long chains over the wailing chasm below. Statuary lined the railings. Saints and angels so lifelike, I fancied they'd not been carved but cursed, bewitched by some fey trickery, turned from warm flesh into cold stone. And across that bridge... "Cairnheim," Selene cried, leaping down into the snow. In truth, it looked less a lair and more a cathedral. Gothic towers stabbing the sky, windows of stained glass so beautiful they almost hurt the heart to see. Cairnheim's design struck me hard. Coldbloods were monsters spat straight from the belly of hell, and yet this place wore the facade of holy ground. Its scale was awe-inspiring. It seemed not a church built for men, but gods, and I boggled at the genius, the will, The fucking time it must have taken to carve all this out of nothing.
How did this get here? Dior breathed. How can this be?
One can accomplish great things, chérie, Selene replied, when one has faith.
Great things, I muttered, all terrible ones.
I cast a wary glance over my shoulder, and though I could see no trace of the terrors, I could feel them, coming on through the snarling snows. Yet, riding across that bridge toward the safety Selene promised, my sense of unwelcome, that weight of dread, only intensified. My hand was on Ashtrinka's hilt the whole time, half expecting the stone saints to spring to life, to tear us to pieces and cast us from the bridge into the gulf below. Breathless, frozen, we reached the span's end. Vast stairs led up to a pair of enormous doors, wrought bronze, corroded green with countless years. Above them, two massive discs were set in the stone, rimed with frost, ornate and beautiful. Clocks, I realized. Yet as I climbed off bare, I saw they tracked no hours nor minutes, but the movement of moons and stars, and the slow passage of centuries. The doors were slightly ajar, as if we were expected. An inscription was visible through the frost above them, a snatch of scripture from the Book of Vows. Enter and be welcome, those who seek forgiveness in the light of the Lord. Dior dismounted, trembling with cold and fear.
Do we knock, or...
Follow, Selene commanded.
Say nothing, do nothing, unless we bid you. Heaven only knows how long it has been since the master of this house had guests.
Selene glowered at me, eyes flashing.
And God help anyone who draws steel in these halls.
God help anyone who forces me to, I replied, arm around Dior.
I mean it, brother. We dance now on razor's edge. The creature beyond these doors has seen the rise and fall of empires. He has tasted heaven in the Red Crusade and drunk ashes in the wars of the blood. Ancien, Esana, lieutenant to Dread Marin herself.
Dead eyes fell on Dior, shining with fervor.
But he will teach you your truth, chérie, and this world shall find salvation from night eternal. We know it.
Phoebe growled, golden eyes fixed behind us.
I concur, I said, glancing back down the bridge. Get the fuck on with it, Selene.
With a final burning glare, my sister turned and squeezed through the doors. Phoebe followed, shoulders bunched, stalking like to prey. And hand in hand with Dior, my heart thumping, mouth dry, I stepped beyond the threshold and into Genoa's church. Snow was piled high in the gap between the doors, spilling across the cold stone floor. A grand entry hall awaited, vast and circular and freezing, and the feeble light of my lantern spilled only a few dozen feet into the black. We saw a great hearth of dark stone, big enough to fit a carriage inside, flanked by blood-red drapery. Twin staircases arched about it like a pair of open arms, leading to the floor above. Hundreds of candelabra, pillars thick as trees, and on every wall, strangest of all, we saw pages.
Seven martyrs,
I whispered, lifting my lantern high. Illuminated pages, torn from the testaments, thousands upon thousands of them. Different languages, different scripts, different parchments, but at heart, all the same. The entire room, every inch of stonework was plastered with the holy words of God.
Master Genoa,
Selene was on bended knee, head bowed as she called.
I am Selene, Liathi of Wulfric. We are come with dark tidings and joyous revelation. My sister's voice echoed in cold stone into the hidden reaches overhead.
Master Wulfric is gone to his final rest, but we have not been idle since he fell.
My sister called louder into the dark.
We have found her, Master, the one promised in the stars, the Scion of Heaven. We have brought her to you that she might learn the truth of herself, to part the veil, to end this darkness and save our damned souls.
No answer save the winds, the roll of hollow thunder. Selene lifted her head.
Master?
Dior squeezed my hand, and despite Selene's warning not to, I found myself drawing Ashdrinker from her sheath. Lightning cracked the sky, a brief illumination spilling through stained glass. And as it faded, so too did hope.
Oh God,
Dior whispered.
Death danced here.
I gripped Ashdrinker tighter as I stepped forward, lighting a nearby candelabrum with my flint box. The light grew, adding to the illumination from our lanterns, and my belly sank toward the flagstones as it became clear where we stood. Not a sanctuary. A cemetery. Burn scars scorched the floors, the walls, charring the testament's pages back to bare stone beneath. Old bloodstains were splashed across the walls. The dust of decades covered all, but worse, I now saw evening gowns and frock coats, even a suit of ancient armour scattered across the foyer, all empty save for handfuls of cold, grey powder. Selene lifted her hands, brushing it from her palms. Not dust.
Ashes.
What happened here?
Dior asked. My sister hung her head, her fingers curled closed, her whole body trembling. She slammed a clenched fist into the floor, shattering the marble flagstone into 100 pieces, and my heart ran chill as I truly understood the depth of our failure. Dior gazed about, crestfallen, and looking into her eyes, I saw the truth now dawning. After so much risked, after so much promised, he's fucking dead, isn't he?